Aunt Ambrosia?
They moved into the creepy old jungle castle.
Your neighbors are living in a creepy old jungle castle?
Yeah.
These children are living in the creepy old jungle castle.
Yeah.
Goodness, who are their parents?
I don't even know.
All right, well, focus up here, Aunt Ambrosia.
Okay.
Here's the deal. The drobe is so completely low on power that I cannot contact Concordia remotely. So the best we can hope to do is follow this tracker and find out where she and the drobe are.
Can't we just wait for the drobe to power back up?
Unfortunately, Aunt Ambrosia, the drobe charges via magic. And I'm afraid there's a lot of anti-magic going on around here.
Oh.
I mean, can't you feel it? This place is just so cold and lonely. What sort of person would possibly want to live here?
Excuse me.
Goodness.
Hi guys.
Oh my goodness. You are the sweetest, cutest thing ever.
Aunt Ambrosia, that's a marmoset talking to us.
What's a marmoset?
It's a small monkey.
Yeah, I'm a small monkey. But come on now. Come on. I know what I'm doing. I live here near this creepy jungle castle, right? And I'm taking pretty good care of myself.
I'll say you are. You look so cute.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, look, here's the deal. The guy who lives in that castle is absolutely crazy bonkers. He's evil dark. He's everything you could possibly imagine.
Sounds terrible.
It is. But here's the deal. I help you into that castle. Maybe you could autograph this papyrus for me and tell me a story?
Wait, you know who I am?
Of course I do. Pride of Mythopoeia. Fable J. Peregrine. Traveling all the systems. You're really cool. I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's wonderful, Fable.
I'll say it is. Thank you, Mr. Marmoset.
The name's Mickey. Mickey the Marmoset.
All right, well, to Mickey the Marmoset, thanks for helping us get into the creepy jungle castle.
This is like totally a dream come true from you guys.
Well, Mickey the Marmoset, when we last left Cirrus Jones, she was eating dinner with her family and had been interrupted by Philip Keller trying to steal their land. Now we pick up when from just down the road, there came the sound of a Trans-Am engine. Cirrus's best friend Connor was pulling into their driveway. She hadn't seen him in months, and they missed each other very much. This is what love songs are really singing about. There's never any hate, and never any doubt. This is the person you're meant for. It's not by chance. It's nothing but a small town romance. Years ago, when Cirrus was young, a boy came to her Sunday school class. He stole her headband to get her attention. He said, "Sorry," and they became friends fast. Love stories like this only come in small towns, where people don't leave each other, they stick around. And even one day their parents knew they'd find, both of them married, they were that entwined. This is what love songs really mean at the heart. It begins the second you meet, right from the very start. Your best friends forever, even at first glance. It's nothing but a small town romance. So that night, when Connor came in his Trans Am, he picked up Cirrus and drove somewhere grand. He planned on taking her to Stone Mountain, but a gas leak kept all that from happening. So instead, he drove to a much smaller place, a little neighborhood that survived by God's grace, a cul-de-sac on top of a large mound, and you could see all of Atlanta from on top looking down. They had a picnic right there with fried chicken and sweet tea, but then all of a sudden Connor said,
"Cirrus, will you marry me?"
Even down the road, when you're talking about forever, you really can't remember a time you were never together. So it's really not that hard to maintain that stance. It's nothing but a small town romance. Cirrus said yes, and Connor drove her back to her house.
That is beautiful. I love a good love story. I think I might even cry.
Really?
Oh, you silly. Mama said can't cry, but if I could, I would. Let's get into that castle.